Greetings, Thunderbird Nation. This is Cal Rollins with highlights from the SUU Coaches Luncheon for Monday, November 8th, 2010. The luncheon, sponsored by the Thunderbird Club, is held each Monday at noon at the Crystal Inn at 1575 West 200 North in Cedar City. The cost for the lunch is $10 or $8 for Thunderbird Club members. The luncheon is open to everyone. First up is Mitch Beeler, president of the Thunderbird Club, with announcements. And the first announcement, Southern Utah's Caitlin Jensen has been named to the ESPN Academic Second Team for Volleyball, voted upon by the Collegiate Sports Information Directors.
Congratulations to her.
She says she carries a 4.0 GPA, and District 8, in case you're wondering, includes California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Alaska, Hawaii, Utah, Nevada, and Arizona. So it's a great honor for one of our volleyball players. Coaches today, first we'll hear from Coach Payne with women's basketball, and then I believe she's going to run because she's got a shoot-around scheduled, and then Coach Baker with volleyball, Coach Reed with men's basketball, and then Coach Lamb with football.
Hi there. Before I begin, I wanted to again, I know this is delayed, I haven't been here in a while, but again to congratulate Coach Lamb and the football team with their tremendous season that they've had. I know they have one more to go, at least. But congratulations again to them. Congratulations to Debbie. I know they're in a very tight race to get into that tournament in the next couple weeks. And then also to congratulate everyone in this room, in particular President Benson and Ken, for enabling us and your hard work to get us into the Big Sky, which of course is, you know, exciting last week, but continues to be exciting for all of us. So congratulations to everyone. I guess I'll talk just a little bit about our team since it's the beginning of the year. Some of you know our team well. We have three great seniors. Caitlin Sears is from up north in Utah. Chalice Pascucci is from Arizona. She was a preseason second team all selection. And then Kayla Goff, Tiny, everybody calls her, is our senior point guard from Las Vegas. So we have three great seniors. We have three sophomores. And then we have, you won't believe this, eight freshmen. No, I'm just kidding. I love them all. We have six recruited freshmen, and we have two walk-on freshmen. And so, over half our team are young pups, and we're slowly but surely moving them along. We've had almost a month of practice. Previous to that, we had 6 weeks of conditioning. Our team worked extremely hard this fall. I don't think anyone could ever call conditioning fun. But in the 6 weeks of conditioning, we didn't do the same workout more than one time. So there was a lot of, you know, different things. We had them pulling tires and pushing cars and running around the track and running up the mountain and just all kinds of different things. So we had a great fall. As I said, we have three great seniors, and we don't have our kids up for summer school typically. So our seniors organized to have our eight freshmen come up 10 days early before school started this year. They felt that it was really important to have those young ones here, you know, to try to get them a little bit acclimated as much as they could. So our seniors put together a 10-day calendar for the team, you know, before school started, where they had them, you know, 8 a.m. breakfast, 10 a.m. 1 mile jog, noon we're having lunch at Chanel's house, afternoon activity we're going to up Cedar Break. I mean, they had every day was planned out, basically morning till evening. You know, as far as just trying to bond and really, you know, get those young ones acclimated. So I think that helped us move along pretty early or pretty quickly this fall. Offensively, as far as our team right now, I'm extremely pleased with where we are. Hard to believe, but we're actually, as far as understanding offensively and sort of the flow that we have, is better than at any point last season. So I'm really pleased with that. Defensively, we're still trying to just hammer fundamentals. The young ones, it's really, you know, obviously the transition is huge from high school to college, no matter what level you've played at. But just really trying to hammer, sit in a stance, stay in a stance, you know, just the sort of the little things. And so we still have, I think, a long ways to go in that area, but we're getting there. Any questions from anybody? Yes.
Rebounding.
Rebounding. Yeah, I was figuring someone would mention the Dixie State game, and I was going to say, did we play Dixie State? That's already out of my mind and gone. But yes, the other night we gave up 25 offensive rebounds, missed 13 layups, and missed 11 free throws. So as I do the math in my head, if we had just sort of fixed half of each of those categories, we win by 20. But we didn't fix those categories. So it's definitely something that we've talked about and worked on. In practice, typically we'll warm up, we'll do some transition, we'll do a rebounding segment, we'll go to shooting, defense, offense. That's sort of how practice typically flows. Practice on Saturday started out with rebounding, shooting, rebounding, offensive, rebounding, defense, rebounding. So obviously that was a huge focus for us, and hopefully tonight we'll show that, you know, that we can be a little bit more disciplined on the boards. All right, thanks very much.
Up next, head volleyball coach, Debbie Baker.
Hello, everyone. So, Caitlin, that was going to be one of my announcements. And just so you know, Caitlin does carry a 4.0 GPA, and she's majoring in biology. So she's not taking basket weaving. So I'm really proud of Caitlin, proud of her effort on and off the court. This week we take on Oakland and IPFW. IPFW is in first place, Oakland is in third place. We're kind of in a predicament here. We are tied with two other teams for fourth place. Unlike basketball, in volleyball, they only take the top four teams. And it's pretty frustrating because right now in conference, our winning percentage is 625. That's pretty impressive. Especially when you look at our team, where I have 15 girls, and of those 15 girls, only two of them were recruited by other schools, by other Division I schools. No one else on my team was recruited by a Division I school. So, yes, I'm frustrated with my team because we're not in first place, and I'm just that kind of person that's never going to be satisfied unless I'm winning it all. But God's given me some perspective, and I'm really proud of my team. When you look at where we were last year, where we've only been together 2 years, and some of them haven't even been with us for both those years, I'm really proud of the way my girls are playing. And we had, like I said last week, we had our team issues, and we got them worked out. And unfortunately, against Oral Roberts, nerves got the better of us. That's where the inexperience comes in. But we played hard. We worked hard in practice. We actually had Coach Lamb come and talk to the players, and that was great. It was nice to hear a coach say the same thing but in a different way. So I know at some point in the season they get tired of hearing me talk, and so having Coach Lamb was really helpful, and I appreciate that. So I need everyone. You need to bring your friends. We need everyone to come out Thursday. We play Oakland Thursday night. They are in third place. If we win out Thursday and Saturday, then we're tied, or we do make it in. We make it in if there's a loss. Oral Roberts and South Dakota State, who also are tied with us, they play each other on Thursday. Like I said, there's only four teams. Ken, are you here? Ken, I just want you to know that even though we're not in the Big Sky until 2012, as soon as the season's over, they're going to have to start dealing with me. Right now, this last year, they started taking only four teams to the conference tournament. And so I'm going to start pushing as soon as the season's over. I'm going to start talking with the Big Sky people, and I want to get six teams because there's going to be 12 of us, hopefully. And it's going to be really good. When you add the Big Sky, when you add North Dakota and SUU to volleyball, it's going to be very competitive. It's just an injustice, I think, to only take four teams to the conference tournament, especially where we're all three teams are playing really well. You know, we're at 625, and you may not make it. I just think that's not fair to the girls, to the athletes. So anyway, so I ask for you to come out and support us. Again, it's our seniors' weekend. We're actually going to do senior night Monday. We play Weber State a week from tonight, and the time has been changed to 6 o'clock, and we'll do our senior thing right after our match. So please come and support them and help us win. We need a really loud crowd to really get our girls going, and so we can make it to the tournament. Any questions?
The question is, who were the two volleyball players that Baker mentioned that were recruited by Division I schools?
Jasmine was out of CSI, and Alyssa actually, she committed to Houston, and then they, a week after she committed to them, they said, no thanks, we're going to get someone else. And so that's how we got Alyssa. Those are the only two. So it's pretty amazing when you think about it. I'm proud of my girls. Anything else? Okay. Thank you.
Up next, head men's basketball coach Roger Reed.
It's great to have a chance to get back and visit with you, and it's a great turnout. I just want to talk about our basketball team, the overall review of our basketball team, before I get into any questions. Really excited about our basketball team. And the reason why I'm excited about it, we have people coming back with some continuity, even though, I know people get tired of hearing about young teams and all that. We've had some experience. We only have one senior on the team, but guys got a lot of playing time last year that in most programs they would have never played, except two or three minutes here and there. So they got a lot of experience. I like that. And the one reason I'm excited about this team is because of the kind of team they are. Their attitude, their work ethic. From the time we were fortunate, I haven't talked to this group. We had a chance to take our team to Australia. I know you've heard about that. I thought it was a great thing for our team and also our school. Sometimes people don't realize I've done that many times with teams, and it's a great, great thing for the university. People know in places in Australia where Southern Utah University is and what kind of university we have. And so it's not only a basketball endeavor, it's also a great situation for our university. I've had people ask me this constantly. No, the university didn't pay for that trip. Because people always think that somehow the university paid for it. No, they did not. And we're very fortunate to have that opportunity. With that, the way we pay for it is we have to play in some major tournaments. We appreciate that, too, playing good competition. But these young men went over, and I thought it was a great bonding thing for our team. The players got a chance to see our Australian players in their environment with their families and actually know their names instead of some guys from Australia. I think our team found out that in their environment that actually people really have great respect for the players we have. Matt Massey in the place that we played, they advertised it for a couple weeks. He was coming home, and the place was pretty well packed. And then we had a chance to go to their homes. Their moms and dads were gracious, had our team over, all the Australian families, and just got a chance to spend some time together, and that was fun. Also, why I'm excited is, like I said, these guys are good people. They've worked hard. They came back this year. They worked hard in the summer in our conditioning programs. They've done everything they've been asked to do. They worked hard in that capacity, which is really fun. And the running program, the strength program, Matt Hodson has gained 20 pounds from last year. That's been a big difference. Now he just needs to get 45 more pounds on him, and he'll start being a man. Also, I know it's been mentioned many times, if you knew where our program was and where we're at academically, you know, we got a 10-team league. We were the GPA was the highest in the league, a 3.1 GPA. And that's a credit to the young man and also a credit to a lot of people in here, Todd and Marlene. We finally got people in our academic area that are on top of what our student-athletes are doing. The first couple of years, we didn't even have an academic coordinator or advisor or whatever. And we still had study halls every night, five nights a week. But it's so nice to have people that are there, that are on top of it, helping it with our director, at Ken Beezer. And so I'm really proud of it. And I think it really has a great correlation. Great students, understanding their student-athletes first, and then basketball players second. And I think it's carrying over to the basketball floor. Let me just go over some of the people that are new that I'm excited about. We have three JC transfers. Our point guard, I'm really excited about. The other night, he was trying to do way too much. Our players were really excited about playing and wanting to play against somebody else and kind of went out of the things that we've been doing in practice, but that's okay. They really wanted to play hard and excited about playing, but Ray Jones is going to be a nice point guard, and the main reason we can get the ball down the floor. Now, we just got to get him understanding what a point guard does as far as being a coach on the floor. But anyway, he's going to be a nice point guard for us. Also, Ramil Taylor is a young man that we really think is going to be a nice player. He had a surgery on for a hernia here about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and he's only had about three really legitimate practices. And so the other night, I think you saw some glimpses of what he can do when he finally gets in shape and understands the offense a little bit. Tyson Kohler's return missionary with 3 years that I think gives us really some depth in the center position, a strong physical type player. And then we got some freshmen. I think Kyle Davis is going to be a great player before he leaves this university. We're very fortunate to get a player of that magnitude, 5A player of the year, state champions in the state of Utah, and he's just going to be a nice player before he gets out of the school. Then we got the people coming back from last year, Matt Hodson, Matt Massey, Jake Nielsen, and like I said, I'm really excited about this basketball team. I think good things are going to happen. We play Wednesday night against Carroll College. They just beat Idaho State, so it's always good. The team we played the other night, we lost by 3 points. That was their fifth game and our first game, and our guys were, like I said, played out of the context of what we've been working on. And that's always understandable when you're playing a lot of people and they want to play well, and we get back to actually executing and doing the things we do every day in practice. My college basketball coached in the NBA and is a fifth winning coach in NBA history, Dick Motta. And I know how intense he was in practice every day. And when he went with the Chicago Bulls in the NBA, I saw him at timeouts and he hardly said a word. You know, and I said, Coach, I talked to him. I said, what's the deal? I mean, you've changed. You've mellowed. He said, Roger, have you ever coached 162 games? He says, I want these guys to listen to me. So when I talk to them at a timeout, it better be a serious time to go and talk at every timeout for 162 games. So once again, I'm going to be here for 30 games. And sometimes, you know, you get kind of worn out a little bit. Anyway, any other questions or any questions at all? Thanks.
Up next in the luncheon is Thunderbird head football coach Ed Lamb. Following his presentation of highlights from the SUU versus Dixie football game, Coach Lamb begins his comments from the podium talking about the competitiveness of the Dixie State football program.
I think their coach, Coach Brumfield, said that they're just now completing a weight room. So they don't have a weight room. There's no chance for their players to compete with our players. And that's the way it should be. It was the final statistics, they ended up with 206 yards to our 453. But that really doesn't tell the whole story. At halftime, we had 360 yards, and they only had 78. The score was 42-0. And then at the end of the third quarter, even with our backups playing significantly, it was still a total yardage advantage of 427 to 89, and outscored them 10-0 in the third quarter. But they did move the ball a little bit in the fourth quarter on us against some of our third string guys on defense, and that's something that we feel like we need to work on. We also felt like that our defensive line the entire game didn't play as hard as they've been playing, so there's another area where we feel like that we can get some work. And we would have liked our run game to be more efficient right from the start of the game. We didn't run the ball as effectively as we thought we could, and I have to give Dixie's front four guys on defense and their linebackers credit for playing really rugged football. I thought they played their best game. I thought Dixie played their best game of defense all year long. And it, you know, it doesn't show up on the stats or anything, but I have to give them credit for playing really hard. I thought they did a nice job. This next week at Eastern Washington, we'll be at their field. Well documented. They've got a red turf, the only red turf in America, maybe the world. It's really ugly on film. The camera doesn't pick up the players very well. You can just see kind of flashes of forearms and calves and socks. And that may be a challenge for our players, is to pick up the opponent where they're at. Our quarterback, for example, has to pick them out. They were red helmets, red jerseys, red pants on this same colored red turf. So that may be a little bit of a challenge. But in the end, watching film, it looks like teams are able to compete well at their place. They're just a very good football team. Eastern Washington last week they were ranked sixth in the country, and they had a bye, and some teams in front of them lost. So they'll probably be five. Did they come out in five? Okay. So they're ranked fifth. They all but have the Big Sky Conference locked up. They get a share of the title if they just win their last game against Idaho State, who has been kind of a bottom-level team this year in the Big Sky. And they will get an outright title if Montana State loses at Montana, which is a tough place for any team to play. And Montana State hasn't done there very well there recently. So, but that's the rest of their season and how they wind up. For us, the rest of our season right now represents one game. It's against a very good team, and it's everything that we could want in a postseason. And I think our players would really like for me to say, hey, guys, we have a great chance at going to the playoffs. But that really can't be our focus. Our focus has got to be on Eastern Washington. And in fact, this game represents everything that a playoff would be. The only reason to be in the postseason is to get some national recognition, to play a high caliber quality opponent. And if we can have the Great West champion matched up against the Big Sky champion in a final game of the year, there's everything we could want that way. And if we win the game, we'll either be in the playoffs or we'll be the team that everybody thinks got screwed out of the playoffs. And there's a lot of merit to that, too. There are a lot of advantages to being the team that is getting screwed out of recognition, because we'll start next year very highly ranked with a returning cast of players and a returning quarterback, which everybody looks at for preseason rankings. And to be honest, those preseason rankings are really important. There's a lot of four-loss teams that are sitting in the top 20 right now, and we're not getting the same respect as those teams because they started out highly and they lost to good quality opponents. Well, we haven't lost to a poor opponent in any of our early season losses. So there are some advantages for us, whether we go to the playoffs or not. But we are totally focused on winning that game. If we win that game, we have a bye. Our bye falls on the last week of the season. So we will practice the week after the Eastern Washington game in preparation for being selected. So if you ask us if there's any hope, we're going to prepare as if we are going to be selected if we win the game, and then we'll deal with not being selected if we're not selected. Any questions? Yes.
The question is about the Eastern Washington quarterback who previously played at Southern Methodist University.
Well, he's not really the marquee feature of their offense. They have he's very athletic and he has a strong arm and he's a good quarterback. But the marquee player for them on offense is their running back, number 22, Tywan Jones. And he will typically rip off three or four long plays a game. He's their kick returner. He's their punt returner. Does both of those at times. He catches passes out of the backfield. He's really dangerous that way. And then as a running back, you know, he really isn't a type of downhill running back that gets 5 or 6 yards a carry, but he is really dangerous. He finds a hole, and then once he does find a hole, he can get up the sideline usually for big yardage. It's not uncommon, as we've been watching film all day today, it's not uncommon to see him rip off 60 and 70-yard touchdowns. So he'll be a real challenge for us. They have some good receivers. They're a big play-action pass team because obviously everybody has to account for their good running back, the fact that he can break open the game, and then the quarterback is good enough to get him out of the trouble with his feet and good enough to get the ball deep downfield in the play-action game. So they have a very dangerous offense, and really their quarterback last year was one of the marquee quarterbacks in the nation, but their game plan hasn't changed much. They beat us last year with the same type of stuff. The running back ripped off a nice short pass reception, turned it into a 50-yard gain. The quarterback went for a 50-yard scramble, and then they went with three play-action passes to their tight end, which this year they have a different tight end, but it's the same type of danger schematically. They have one of the premier linebackers in America, Sherritt is his last name. He's number four, and I think he's approaching 400 tackles for his career.
The question is about Southern Utah defensive standout Colin Predlow.
I hope he's all right. As of now, he's still kind of questionable for whether he practices or not. He expected to be ready for the last game, but we have plenty of depth, and so to play him at anything less than 100% didn't make sense. But he was really wanting to practice later in the week, and he wanted to be in the game. And I don't know if you noticed, but he started the first play of the game and then pulled him out just in his last home game. So for whatever that was worth to him, he wanted to be out there, and we thought he'd earn that, and he protected us. He lined up really deep and backpedaled really fast. Yes.
The question is about a continued series with Dixie.
Well, the only reason that we began playing him is it's a community rivalry. I mean, that's not our football team's rival. and there's no way you could identify them as our rival. I didn't think, I know that the people here were at the game, but I didn't think it was a very good crowd. So my personal opinion is that maybe the community rivalry, the shine is wearing off of that too. And in my mind, there's probably not a reason to continue to play the game until there's more interest in it. But, scheduling is a huge task, and it doesn't fall on my shoulders. That's Ken Beezer takes on the work there and always comes to me for input and approval on who to play. But, that's a big, big task. So he's the one that's got to deal with whether or not we're going to play that game and whether it's worthwhile for us. All right. Thank you very much.
Wednesday, the men's basketball has an exhibition against Carroll College at 7 p.m. Thursday, the volleyball will be hosting Oakland at 7 p.m. And again, both games are important, Thursday and Saturday, but Oakland will kind of be the telltale sign of if we win that one, we'll have a good chance of making the tournament. If we don't win that one, then still show up on Saturday. On Friday, women's basketball will be starting their season at UNLV. That's 6 o'clock our time, 5 o'clock in Vegas. All of these events will have live stats. The women's basketball game might be on the radio. They're still trying to work that one out. Saturday, the cross-country team will be at the NCAA Mountain Regionals. That'll be in Salt Lake City at the Rose Park Golf Course with races starting at 10:30 in the morning. Football will be at Eastern Washington, a 2 o'clock kick our time. We're working on getting a shared video stream with Eastern Washington at BigSky.org. We didn't get to go to BigSky.org. I think they have single game packages where you can watch that online if you're not able to make the trip. And then volleyball again, IPFW, 7 o'clock on Saturday. See you at all those games, and thanks for coming out again today.
That concludes the Thunderbird Coaches Luncheon for November 8th, 2010. The luncheon, sponsored by the Thunderbird Club, is held each Monday at noon at the Crystal Inn at 1575 West 200 North in Cedar City. The cost for the lunch is $10 or $8 for Thunderbird Club members. The luncheon is open to everyone. For Power 91 Sports, I'm Cal Rollins. Power 91.